job to tempt your palate, and they make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Executive Chef Fred Genovese and his guests will cook and saute. They share their food and they share their recipes. Kevin Jenkins, he's a fat man jumping in of the pots and pans. So don't touch that dial if you please. Chef and the fat man, Chef and the fat man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? Show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome. It's that time of the week, the time you've all anxiously been awaiting, the time where you grab the mothers, the fathers, the sisters, the brothers, the early times, the boyfriends, girlfriends, and if you're so daring, all together, gather on the old tube radio as it's time for another weekly culinary journey down the road to excellence. Known as Chef and the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs. We are truly a theater of the mind show. We are listened to by thousands, and what condition your mind is in at the end of the show, we have no clue. We are listened to by thousands, streamed around the world on News Talk 1160, The Talk of the Town, also on Podbean and iTunes, where you can hear the latest shows. You don't even have to pay, we're so nice. Right here on Chef and the Fat Man. Today we are live in with our mobile kitchens at beautiful Pell City Lakeside Park in Pell City, Alabama. Now, you may wonder, my friends, where in the heck is Pell City, Alabama? Well, I won't tell you the usual directions because there are people actually from Pell City here.
They got a little
upset. So I got to be very careful while I say it. Just suffice to say, get on 20, head towards Birmingham, and before you get to that town, about 25 miles before you get to Birmingham, you'll see a sign for Pell City. And I got to tell you, the people in Pell City, Alabama, rock, Chef Fred. I've been here for 2 days, and you couldn't get nicer people if you wanted to. And we had good food. We had great accommodations. They've got a super Walmart right next to the hotel we were staying at.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Does it get any better than that? They got a Hardee's.
Chicken biscuits?
Oh, let me tell you
Chicken
something.
Chicken sausage biscuits?
I am here to make an announcement today, officially.
Okay.
Hardee's rocks for fast food.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you what, they have come up with some chicken fingers, so I had to try them.
Yeah.
They were actually moist. They were actually not heavily battered. They were actually cooked all the way through. And they had a buttermilk ranch sauce that was absolutely great for dipping. And their hamburgers, God love them, they wrap them in a paper so that when you take them out to eat them, the whole bottom is covered up so you can't leak all over yourself. And they use black Angus. And they're thick, and they got bacon and cheese, all the basic food groups. So, and an iced tea that's huge.
Yeah.
And when they get it right, which I don't know how they determine who works the window at fast food places.
Luck of the draw sometimes.
No, it's not luck of the draw. I think it's whoever has the lowest IQ score.
Stop.
I'm telling you.
Stop.
You cannot
Stop.
Go through a drive-thru. I challenge any listener to go through a drive-thru 3 times and get their orders right. Once.
I can tell you right now, Kevin,
there's
a McDonald's by my house.
Oh, please.
I've gone probably, I don't know, probably work week, 5 days, probably twice a week I stop in, get the special. They get it right every single time. Better I cannot understand what they're talking about.
Yeah. And then you got to get an interpreter. It's ugly. But anyway, that's it, my friends. Congratulations to Hardee's, the official fast food provider now for the Fat Man. It is the only place I will drive out of my way to find a Hardee's now.
Their Frisco breakfast sandwich, phenomenal.
Well, listen, you know what they'll do also? I don't like biscuits, okay?
Right.
So what they'll do is they'll take the chicken biscuit and put it on sourdough bread.
And their sourdough bread rocks.
So they'll change it up for you, and they don't even ask you questions. Yes, sir, no problem. And if you want to add a smoked sausage to it, what the heck?
Just got to remember to put it on there.
That's the challenge. But anyway, so congratulations to Hardee's. You guys rock. The Fat Man officially endorses you as a must-stop for fast food.
But while we're talking about fast food,
yes,
what is our first and official airport fast food before any flight?
Love my chicken from Popeyes.
Absolutely.
I'm looking
at Atlanta Hartsfield. We have never taken a flight out of Hartsfield Airport where we don't stop at Popeyes first.
For some spicy chicken and red beans and rice. That's the flight a lot happier.
It certainly
Even if
does.
You're going to New Orleans?
Absolutely.
Uh-oh. There's cheering going on down there.
And we just started.
I know. They hear us all the way down there. It's
they
amazing,
saw
Jeff
me.
Fred. Well, yeah, well, they saw the Papa Peppers. And the Papa Peppers, I think, should give up his date today. You know, his bet of having to drink a Bud Light. We're going to watch the Papa Peppers drink a Bud Light, the absolute most disgusting beer he's ever drunk, because he doesn't get beer. He drinks all that foofy stuff, you know, okay, Trappist monks and this Belgian
is not, this. This is not Chef and the Beer Guy show.
I'm just saying. He doesn't know a real good beer. Well, but he's going to get a chance to drink one today.
Anyway.
It's ice cold. Anyway, Chef of the Fat Man of Blue Collar Chefs are proudly brought to you by the Big Green Egg,
the ultimate cooking vessel.
There you go. Very good. That's not great, but good, good, good. And by DiscoverIreland.com and Tourism Ireland. This is the opportunity of a lifetime to go take a chance to visit the Aran Islands. Go visit Ireland. I swear, once you go there, you too will wish you were Irish. And by the Hotel Monteleone, they are going to be our headquarters for the week at Tales of the Cocktail 2010 in beautiful New Orleans, baby. We'll be down there smelling the oil and drinking plenty of adult beverages to wash the taste out of our mouth at Tales of the Cocktail 2010, July 20th through the 25th. All the greatest bartenders, mixologists, liquor distributors in the world are going to be there. You will be sampling and drinking and taking classes by the finest teachers in the world in adult beverages. And by Simply Superb bitters, flavoring syrups, quality cocktail mixes, iced cappuccino mixes, and other beverage ingredients, it can be none other than Fee Brothers. Fee Brothers, the best of the best, proudly mixing their products since 1863. And by OXO Kitchen Utensils, your economical quality utensils that fit your hand like the fine-tuned instruments they are. And by the ABA, the American Bass Anglers Association Barbecue Cook-Off Tour, sponsored by Early Times Whiskey. And yes, we actually have a bottle of Early Times. We're not supposed to have it here. Uh-oh.
Let's take a pause.
I must have a pause here. Team Barbecue is here.
Okay. Oh, well, go ahead. Kevin's got the pulled pork barbecue sandwich made by Bobby Q.
Oh, my God. My friends, a foodgasm is occurring right here in Pell City, Alabama.
Oh, I tell you what, that pulled pork started off with the chicken. And not that I'm complaining, by no means.
Oh, yes, you are.
Okay, you're going to agree with me on this complaint, though.
Yep.
One time for six people? Come on, hook a brother up.
Yeah, well.
But he made up for it because he did send out about 20 ribs.
Now, in the background, you've been hearing this. That is the sound of bacon cooking, my friends. And I am telling you that is not static on your radio. That is the sound of real bacon. And why can we say that? Because we are the only live radio cooking show in the world that actually cooks live each and every week. Now, some may suggest they wish we weren't live. But that's another story for another time.
Well, and there's been a few days that we weren't quite live.
I'll tell you what, when you're Tales of the Cocktail on the second or third day you're there.
Or the second or third spin around the carousel bar.
And the bartenders are all trying to be your friend and impress you with their different drinks. There's only so much a man can take. But I do my best to help out Chef Red. It's amazing.
It's a great time.
Joining me alongside the mobile kitchens as he does each and every week, or mostly each and every week, much better than he was 2 years ago.
Yay.
It is executive chef, the Goomba of goodies, the gargantuan of greatness. Boy, you know, you get all these accolades. I get squat. Chef Fred Genovese.
All right, well, then when I introduce you, I'll introduce you as Kevin Squat Jenkins.
All right, there you go.
Man, this is great. You know, we got some clouds, which is probably a pretty good thing. That's a good thing right now. You know, I kind of like the red in your face from yesterday's fishing thing where it was a little warm out there on the lake.
You know what the difference between hell and Pell City, Alabama in the middle of June is?
5 degrees?
The spelling. I mean, it was hotter than Hades here, my friends. We were out on the lake yesterday. It was 98 degrees. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. There wasn't a breath of air.
And at 11 o'clock, I turn to Early Times. I call him the man, Billy the man, the Early Times fishing pro. And I said to him, Billy, no moss, my brother. No moss. I mean, if they would have put an apple in my mouth, I could have served 150 people in the park. I'm telling you, I was one roasted pig. It was, oh my goodness, it was, I drank over 2.5 gallons of liquid yesterday. And I'll just put it this way. I did not use the porta potties. That's just how much liquid I lost. It is horrible. Now, my friends, let us give you the setting of this beautiful ABA Classic. We're sitting on top of the grassy knoll. Not the one in Dallas, but the one here in Pell City at Lakeside Park. All right? Now, we are looking down into a parking lot that waves of heat were wafting off there. But now that we have the overcast before the torrential electric storm we're going to have, all these vendor booths are down there. They've got great food. They've got great drinks. They've got all kinds of great vendors. Oh, my. Oh, pictures. Pictures. Oh. The pulled pork that did not make the judges' table has just come out on the table. These are pork butts, my friends, that you never will ever get a chance to try unless you suck up to somebody at a pro barbecue tournament, KCBS. And ABA, the American Bass Anglers Association, how much smarter are they, Chef Red?
I don't know, but this break coming up couldn't get here any better.
It is unbelievable. But we are here. The fishermen will be coming in. But we are on this grassy knoll in this park surrounded by wonderful trees. We are looking down over the lake. When we come back, we're going to finish it up, tell you what we're cooking, start getting it ready. Chef of the Fat Man and Blue Collar Chefs, live from Pell City, Alabama, baby, taking it to the streets of Pell City.
Hey, Deanne.
Say. Welcome back, my friends. Chef and a Fat Man. Live from Pell City, Alabama, my friends. The ABA, KCBS, Pro-Am, Professional Fishing and Barbecue Tournament. I'm telling you, my friends, if you have never been to one of these, shame on you. This is a great place to come. Bring the family. Hang. You see beautiful people in various array of clothing here in Pell City, Alabama. You got people with a lot of clothes, and you got some people who can afford not to wear so many clothes. That's a beautiful thing here in Pell City. They don't care. In fact, I hear the city pool is clothing optional. But anyway, my friends, what?
Stop it.
You're an engineer. Be quiet back there. Anyway, my friends, we are here where God has shone upon us by clouding up the skies. We're just hoping we can get this show through before we have to take a break for electrical interference. But we are here today to celebrate the American Bass Anglers Association, the wonderful people at Early Times. Because if you're going to drink whiskey, my friends, why mess around with some foreign import? Why not go to the best of the best, get it right here in the United States, be very, 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 very careful, and always drink responsibly. But when you do, like this beautiful Early Times Special Edition, 150th Anniversary Edition, it is, let's just put it this way, we're going to make a glaze out of it, and that pork loin will never have been happier than it will be when he gets doused in Early Times. So, my friends, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to wherever he is, the Papa Peppers.
Oh, he's cooking. We're on the egg.
Papa Peppers is already cooking on the egg. Deanne is here. The lovely Linda is here. My wife, Karen, the engineer, is here. And all these great
also
people.
Lovely Karen.
And my wife, Karen. Well, and the lovely engineer, Karen Jenkins, there.
Yeah, there we go. My God, she wants a full introduction. What is up with that?
Yeah, Squat, what's up with that?
And we've got Teresa and Michael here. We've got so many people here.
Lovely Teresa.
The ravishing Teresa and Michael the Whip, we call him, for various reasons.
I did not know that at a barbecue competition there were so many peanut galleries. This is ridiculous.
I know. Is there anybody else who would like to be introduced? What's your name, ma'am? What's your first name?
Lovely Lynn.
Lovely Lynn. Where are you from?
That piece of grass right there. Right there.
I'll tell you what. Must be heck when the porta potty's full. And you two ladies, where are you from?
I'm from Greenville.
Ocean Spring. Boy, that's a long walk.
There
you go. God love you. And hopefully they'll get that situation taken care of. But anyway, my friends, they come from everywhere just to be here to celebrate barbecue and fishing. Now, I think the fishermen come in at 3 o'clock.
Around 3:30.
They'll be coming in at 3 o'clock for the weigh-in. And then, of course, as we speak, they are, I think they're on... brisk.
Sorry.
That was wrong.
It's good mustard,
Chef
though.
Try
that mustard.
Up the hot dog buns and the
try that mustard.
The bun.
The boy said spicy mustard.
All right. Well, anyway, my friends, now we set the stage in this beautiful park, sitting on top of the grassy knoll, looking at the lightning bolts off in the distance. I introduce you to Chef Fred. Now, Chef Fred, we're going to start off with something that most people don't think of when they think of a hot dog. How about a hot dog wrapped in bacon? Tell us about it.
You know, pig and more pig. And, you know, Kev, I was looking at our recipes at chefandthefatman.com under the recipe section. In almost 8+ years, we have never done a hot dog. It's not,
no.
I couldn't find it. And I'm like, this is a miss. So I went scavenging through some internet and some recipe books and such.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, I kind of like that idea, but I can do this, this, and this. So I think probably for the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to feature a hot dog recipe. Whether it's a nacho dog. I was thinking probably coming up when we do the Big Green Egg again, when we get back from Chicago, at Taste of Chicago, which y'all can come
join us. Shameless name dropper.
Well, I think we'll have time between Chicago and Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans, where we're staying at the beautiful Monteleone Hotel.
You just are insufferable.
You're just jealous because I'm getting these in, that's all. But anyway, do a hot dog recipe. 1 week.
Yep, I think that's good. Hot dogs.
A Fee Brothers glazed.
Yeah, Fee Brothers glazed. We could do that. And also, I'm thinking, because I know you love this cheese.
Right.
Take a big boar's head beef hot dog.
Okay.
Split it. And then grate some boar's head horseradish cheddar. Melt that cheddar in that hot dog.
You know, my friends, those clouds are very interesting. And for those of you who have studied weather, if you see a wall cloud, the only thing you'll see after a wall cloud is my backside. Because
that takes a lot of clouds, too, folks.
Let me tell you something. Anyway, it's getting more interesting as it goes on. But that's okay, because it's just a casual passing shower.
Yeah, and God knows we could use a little shower now and then.
But it is, my friend. So we're going to do hot dogs. Now, the great thing about hot dogs is it's one of those things that everybody eats, but everybody's used to throwing a hot dog, put a little mustard ketchup on it, that's it. We're going to do hot dogs, not like your mama would make a hot dog. We're going to make hot dogs. Now, we will get into the hot dogs, what we think are the best hot dogs, where you can go get the best hot dogs. And all we're going to do is then we're going to go from the hot dog to salmon. How many of you out there like salmon? One, two people. Well, okay, well, I'll tell you what. After you have salmon on the egg with this, what are you going to do, a honey and soy glaze?
Yeah. Well, the reason I picked those two is because sockeye salmon's running wild right now.
Wild sockeye.
Wild sockeye. So
yes.
The flavor profiles are unlike that pink that you see in the grocery
store. Yeah, the slightly orangish.
Yeah, it gets the pink from the food it eats.
Yep.
And I've told you this before. We got to go to Canada, up in British Columbia, Canada. And this guy we knew went out that morning and caught a 35-pound salmon. And Kevin, when we ate it, it was a beautiful, lightly golden orange. And the flavor profile was like steamed vegetables. It was amazing.
Like steamed vegetables. If it tastes like steamed vegetables,
well,
I wouldn't eat it.
Because of all the plankton such, you would, because it's just that amazing. And I know, Mike, you've had fresh-caught salmon.
Then we're going to do a hot dog with a Vidalia relish. Now, this is a Vidalia relish you came up with, Chef Fred?
Yep. You know what? I could have very easily. Boar's Head puts one out that is absolutely... Those clouds are getting closer, Kevin.
They're moving at a pretty good clip, which means when it does hit, it won't be long.
No. But
lightning back there. Well, thank you. We got some great folks out here who are... When I see them run, we'll know.
Hit the dive.
They're spotters.
But yes.
Borset puts out a great Vidalia relish. And you know, and like you were saying, everybody puts on a little ketchup, a little mayonnaise, mustard, call it a day. But I think the hot dog itself, and we'll get into this a little bit later, is the crucial element and the basis of a good hot dog cookout, whether it be for kids or not. I mean, don't go get the, you know, Tom Thumb chicken hot dog, which has beaks and snouts and feathers and tails in it. You know, so get a good quality hot dog, whether it be Vienna beef.
Sabret.
Nathan, Sabret, Boar's Head. Get a good quality thing to start the basis with.
Then we're going to finish up with a pork loin with King Oysters. Early Times cream sauce.
King Oyster mushrooms.
Oh, man.
Early Times whiskey. And a little bit of cream. Let that reduce down. We'll slice that pork real, real thin. And then we'll just ladle on that cream sauce with that Early Times and the mushrooms.
Well, my friends, it doesn't get any better than Bass Fishing and KCBS all together in beautiful Pell City, Alabama, where the weather is getting interesting. It's cooling off a little bit.
A lot bit.
The breeze has picked up, which can mean only one thing. It will be a 5-segment show this week instead of 7 or 8. No, just kidding. Anyway, it's all about food, fun, and celebrating the good life right here in Pell City, Alabama. And you know, Chef Fred, it's a real easy run over here. And the park that we're in is just beautiful. Across the way, you can see the, first of all, you're on Lake Logan Martin, which is a great bass fishing lake. And I had a chance to go out with Billy. He is a Early Times sponsored bass pro, and he took me out in the Early Times Wrapped Triton boat. We went out yesterday afternoon.
Beautiful boat.
It's a beautiful
boat.
It's
on display right over there with a big pickup truck.
And we went there yesterday, and we did some fishing, and it was absolutely incredible. We had a blast, and we will talk to Billy later on in the show. And I'm telling you, Chef Fred, it's it looks like it's starting to blow up. But that's okay because we have a big green egg.
I'm holding.
And it weighs so much, there's no way it's going to come apart. This is unbelievable. This is a blast,
this
my friend.
This is the first.
This is exciting. As long as we don't lose the early times.
Save the early times.
Save the early times. Save the pop-ups.
They're the tents.
Save the children.
Hey, can we get a time? How much time we got left?
Well, I know we got 2 minutes left. And
you
I don't
can hear the wind now.
Yes.
Where was this breeze yesterday, Kevin, on the lake?
Well, my friends, we will not be deterred. We will not be deterred. Anyway, Chef Fred.
This doesn't look like Kansas.
Yeah.
Yes, Dorothy, it doesn't.
You got to say that one thing is for certain. This is, the hot dog is the all-American treat.
I totally agree. You know, it's something that you start with. Hamburgers are for later. But the hot dog, it's just one of those. There goes the show notes. Oh, man, I wish this was on video because this is going to be fun. But anyway, yeah, the hot dog's an all-American treat.
2 minutes.
That 2 minutes from the producer hiding under the tent. And, you know, going to start, you know, get a good hot dog like we were talking about. It makes all the difference in the world. And fix up your condiments. It always doesn't have to be, you know, the typical ketchup and mustard and onions and relish. I mean, make your own. Throw a little slaw in there. And one of the best hot dogs, hands down, in the city is at Bobby G's Chicago Eatery. And that Chicago dog drug through the garden with those sport peppers and the celery salt and the emerald relish. It's just a great, all-natural, phenomenal hot dog that served correctly in the Rosen's poppy seed bun. And I'm looking forward when we go to Chicago, Kevin. I think for breakfast we should have that.
Well, it would be. And you know, Chef Fred, the beautiful thing about being out here on the lake is that we actually get all the excitement, all the thrills, all the smells of being here in beautiful Pell City, Alabama with barbecue. And we get to see the boats coming in when they come in. So that's pretty exciting. Now, you're doing something that's kind of unique in as much as you are actually doing a hot dog, but you're wrapping it in bacon.
Yeah, we pan-fried the bacon lightly a little bit earlier and just
seconds.
Enough so it's pliable, about halfway cooked. And then that way we can wrap it around the hot dogs. Once it cooled, I had Mike toothpick it together. Now, those pork and beef Frank's boards, that nice big, they're called 4-to-1. That means there's 4 hot dogs to 1 pound. 8-to-1s, 8-to-1 hot. Now, they do make a 2-to-1, but that's more like a sausage.
Well, my friends, it's food, fun, and celebrating good life. Chef and a Fat Man live from Pell City, Alabama. We'll be back right after this thunderstorm. Ah, my friends, we don't let a little rain, 60-knot winds, and hail bother us. No, we are Chef and a Fat Man at Blue Collar Chefs today live in beautiful Pell City, Alabama. I'll tell you what. If the weather had been like this all day, other than the little blow we had there for a few minutes, this is beautiful.
This has been great weather.
This is perfect. Now, you may hear some noise in the background. That is not Chef Fred's kitchen. That's the lightning and everything else that's still going around. But really, the wind has dissipated. They came through and told us about 15 minutes ago, about 30 minutes it should blow through, and it's lightening up already. It's looking real nice off in the distance.
Lighting or lightning up?
Lightening up. And we're going to give it one heck of an effort to push through here, Chef Fred. Now, when we last left you, you were giving your dissertation on hot dogs. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with ballpark. I mean, if you want 10 hot dogs for 99 cents or something like that, you know, but you get what you pay for.
Okay, that's good answer
and
to that.
You know
one.
What? And if you're, it's like a lucky dog in New Orleans. At 3 o'clock in the morning when you leave Bourbon Street. I'm telling you, man, a Lucky Dog looks like a five-course meal for $2.
$2? When was the last time you had a Lucky Dog on Bourbon Street?
That I remember? It's been a long time.
I don't know, but last time I went and gave up money for a Lucky Dog, I gave the guy a 20, and I don't remember much change left over.
No, but it is what it is. But if
yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
You want any change? Thanks.
No, I'm good. Just the way I am. I don't want to change.
But it was pretty amazing stuff. And hot dogs are one of those things. Now, if you go to Bobby G's, you will be guaranteed at Bobby G's, you get a pure 100% all beef Vienna hot dog. Now, you can argue about dogs all day long. And there will be people say Boar's Head are the best, Nathan's, Hebrew National,
Vienna beef.
But I got to tell you, from my perspective, having tried them all, I just have never found a better hot dog than the Vienna. I like the spice blend in the Vienna. And no, that is a Boar's Head.
Boar's Head pork and beef. Excellent. Yeah, it's a great dog. I mean, and you know, if it's kind of like saying, you know what, Coke and Pepsi are the one and two, and where you're from depends on what you like. It's just that matter. I mean, it's a personal choice, but you know, we're gonna go to Chicago, and you know, we're gonna have a Chicago dog and dressed and all that. But up in New York, you know, if you get a hot dog off the stand, you know, that beautiful Hudson River water that's been soaking it for days, it's a great thing. You know, you just can't beat certain things. And territorial maybe is the right word, you know, because people in North Carolina say, oh, this sauce is best. And people in Alabama know this sauce is the best. And, you know, do you like a sweet barbecue sauce? Do you like a spicy barbecue sauce? Do you like a vinegar-based barbecue sauce? Do you like a white barbecue sauce?
Yes.
You know, so yeah, exactly. We like it all. But, you know, that's the thing about hot dogs. And just get a good hot dog, and I'm sorry, chicken is chicken, and I don't think chicken should be put into a hot dog. I don't think turkey should be put into a hot dog.
See, I thought you'd be all over a turkey dog, so Jill eat a turkey burger, why not a turkey dog?
Different concept, totally different thing. Because when I make a turkey burger, it's usually made with thigh meat. When their turkey dog is made, I don't know what it's being made with. Just saying. You know, if you ever bite into something a little crunchy in a turkey or chicken dog, and you look and go, looks like snout, beak. So anyway, that's a little dissertation about hot dogs.
And what you did was you cooked up the bacon about three-quarters of the way through.
Cooked up the bacon about half, three-quarters of the way through, and then just simply wrapped the bacon around it, toothpicked it, put it on the egg, cooked the dog so they started to split a little bit. That's a great dog. Something a little different, you know. It's a pork and beef hot dog, so more pork, not a bad thing. And we'll get to the next hot dog coming up here shortly. But I want to get the salmon marinating.
Okay.
And this is a soy, honey, and except I'm going to switch the honey up a little bit. We're going to use agave syrup. Fresh ginger.
Oh, wow.
So this is a good, well-blended, aged, non-grocery store soy sauce. This is from an Asian market. So the salt content's a little bit. It's a little bit more aged, a little bit thicker, a little bit darker. And people are going to say, well, does it really matter? Well, Kevin, it's kind of putting it to you this way, so you'll understand. Would you rather drink a Bud Light, or would you rather drink a Brick Red Atlanta Ale beer?
A Bud Light.
Okay, so there you go. Well, it's not like we didn't know the answer to that one, but that's the whole thing. So a good soy sauce, a little bit of agave syrup, and then we're going to take a little bit of the rice wine vinegar. I've chopped up some ginger. Now I'm going to go ahead and finally mince up real thin slices of some garlic. Big cloves of garlic, not elephant garlic, just large cloves of garlic. I'm going to slice those real thin, go real slow. No, you don't cut yourself. And those are going to go in the bag, just a Ziploc bag. Nothing out of the ordinary. Beautiful sockeye salmon, two pieces. We're going to take that, and we're going to put that in the bag. And we're going to let the salmon skin on. Sit at room temperature for about 15-20 minutes. It doesn't need a super long time. My trash can keeps moving. It's on feet. So beautiful sockeye salmon. When you can get wild salmon, Mike, there is nothing like it. Hands down. The flavor profile is absolutely phenomenal.
Absolutely. I really like salmon. And we're pressed right now to find wild-caught salmon that's really worthwhile.
Yeah, and like I said, Publix started running wild sockeye salmon. Scarfed some up for just for this recipe. I think I bought like 3.5 pounds. And just the flavor, the texture, the mouthfeel, even just a little salt and pepper. You get so much more of those fatty omega-3 fats that come out of the skin or out of the meat, and they bubble up on top. It's just that much more flavorful. So in the bag with the garlic and the ginger and the soy and the rice wine vinegar and the agave syrup, that is the salmon. So we're going to set that aside on the table, let it sit for about 15, 20 minutes before we put it on the egg.
Is that those squeeze bottles of agave nectar?
Yes. Yes.
Terrific ingredient.
Great
terrific
stuff.
Ingredient.
You know, if you don't have a really good honey, this is something you could use that would just, I mean, taste that.
I've been using it in my glaze.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a world of difference.
Since I use tequila in the glaze, that agave being tequila as well, it's got a triple punch of
that agave flavor.
Agave flavor.
And well, these guys are lighting up, fellas. People are starting to wander around with their Bud Lights and their koozies. And the competitors are starting to come out from underneath the shelters. And the scrawniest darn squirrels I've ever seen. I mean, I got to tell you something about Pell City, Alabama and squirrels.
Well, you know,
they've
I think if
the
they
scrawniest squirrels.
If they stay scrawny, they may not end up on the dinner table.
They've eaten all the big ones.
You know, they've been on it, Dan.
Hey, and don't make fun of eating squirrels.
Love squirrels.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll tell you what, you know Miss Ada makes great biscuits, but nothing. Nothing compares to her fried squirrel.
Really?
Oh,
rat,
man.
Fried rat.
No, that woman can flat make. She'll take a squirrel, she'll dredge it in flour, cook it in the cast, or she'll pressure cook it first. She pressure cooks the squirrel till it just falls off the bone. Then she takes it out whole and dredges it in a spice flour, cast iron skillet, put some butter in there, and just crisps that completely up. Then she takes it out, lays it on a plate, has a big dollop of rice, and then she takes all the drippings from the bottom and makes a brown gravy, drizzles it over the squirrel and the rice, and then chops up green onion tops and puts it on there. Oh, man.
Good, huh? So is she coming to visit you while you're on vacation?
No.
I think that would be a good time for you to bond.
Well, you know, it would be, and I really thought about it, but unfortunately, no matter how I tried, she just couldn't make it.
I'm thinking that was pretty generous of you. So one of the last accoutrements to go with the salmon is some toasted sesame seeds.
Ooh, nice.
So, yeah, just all we want is a light toast on these sesame seeds. Dry pan, just a little bit of toast. That's it. Just till they start to break and turn a light golden brown. That's all we want.
That's it?
That's it.
Nothing more than that?
No.
And the thing about it is you got to take it off the heat, on the heat, because these things start to turn.
Eat off.
Kind of like garlic.
Three phases.
Yep. Light, golden brown, burnt.
That's right.
What is it?
Sesame seeds.
So
now, one of the great things about this that's amazing is that these are some that most people don't even think about doing. You know, they just don't.
Yeah. It's just one little thing, but when it's added to the dish, it's just that little compliment that adds itself real well to this glaze.
You know what? The first time I toasted sesame seeds, I cursed them. I hated them because it took me an hour to get them out of the toaster.
You know.
I'm just saying.
Probably somebody thinks that's funny, and then probably about 10 people go, I could see him doing that.
Well, yeah, they probably
you know.
Right. And no, see, that's, once again, that's one of those things that you add for a nice little touch. But to me, I can go get a can of them.
Not toasted. Not toasted. I mean, that's what they are. They're just white, and we just went ahead and toasted them up.
By the way, you can't buy them toasted.
No, that's true. Especially stores, you can. Yeah.
Korean stores have.
Then you don't have to break out the pan. You don't have to do all the work. You don't have to flip them around, heat on, heat off. I know. I mean, I love the way he does it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't go to that trouble.
No, at Costa Jenkins, when you get home at 6:30 at night, and you've been in the kitchen all day, the last thing you want to do is sit there and go, oh, boy, let me toast up my sesame seeds.
Well, then do a bigger pan, and you'll have them ready to go at any time you need them.
I wonder, has anyone ever wondered how long the sesame seeds would last if you toasted them? Like in the refrigerator? Probably in the refrigerator.
I know, you know, Papa.
Oh, yeah, Papa can tell you to the second.
I know.
354 days?
235, I think.
235. You know, he's probably within 5 days, unfortunately, knowing that. So, yeah, those are done. Pan's done. We're just going to let them sit. Not a difficult step, but I think a flavorful step in this particular thing.
Well, you know who's going to be joining us here in a little while is Bobby of Team Bobby Crew. He's going to give us his assessment
because this is the time. Now he's had a chance to sit down with the guys. Everything's all turned in. The pressure's off now. And we're watching him construct a dry seat, which I think is very cool.
Yeah, and I'm sure someone is going to think about jumping in his dry seat. That wouldn't be. Yeah, no, he's stepping.
Are you
right
sure the lightning? Are you sure the lightning's over, Bobby?
That's right. He's sitting in a foil seat.
Well, we're going to, as a matter of fact, when we come back out of the next segment, we're going to talk to Team Bobby Q, and we're going to ask him, hey, what's happening with your barbecue? Because I'll tell you what, man, if we tasted what we tasted today, we had to be judges. It's over.
Yeah.
Another crocodile tears for everybody else. I mean, it was some good stuff. Now, we'll find out, though, honestly,
what he
how
thinks.
He did. We got more recipes. We got more tales from the trail. We're here at Pell City, Alabama. Don't mind the lightning. We don't. Taking it to the streets of Pell City. Welcome back, my friends. Chef and a Fat Man live from the ABA, the American Bass Anglers Association. Fishing Tournament Barbecue Cook-Off, brought to you by Early Times Whiskey. And we've got a recipe we're actually going to be cooking with Early Times today. And it was, we shut down the show for Early Times here because of the weather, but things seem to be lightening up and things start to get better. People are starting to crawl out from underneath the shelters and batten down the hatches. And it gives us great pleasure to welcome us when he isn't cooking with us back at the Big Green Egg. We're on the tour with him here in Pell City, Alabama. Owner and creator and Indian chief of Chief Bobby Q. And Team Bobby Q is, we are here at Camp Egg, beautifully overlooking Lake Logan Martin. Bobby, congratulations to you and Charlie, and you had a special assistant working with you today, Rick.
Yeah,
and
Rick Goldstein, who's a judge, which is kind of unusual, but in order to get your master judge certification for Casey Bish, you have to judge 30 contests. And when you get done with that, you have to actually, at some point, cook with the team for a whole contest so they can get a sense of.
So he's getting his cred here today. Well, what's your feeling there?
Everything went pretty good. As soon as we say that, we end up doing bad, so I don't want to say too much. But
right.
I was okay with everything. I think we did all right.
Well, I know the timing, and we talk about timing. Everything is timing at KCBS and with barbecue, and everything is timing. Yep. And this is a little earlier, and this actually worked out in your favor going a little earlier this time. Ordinarily, it's a pain in the neck, but, man, the weather blew. If it had been a half an hour different, there could have been some nasty boxes.
I think Rick was running our boxes, and I only think he got wet on the brisket box, and that was the last one. So I think he came back dry from that.
There you go. As long as Rick's dry and he's not bruised or bloodied, you know the food got in. How many competitors are here? Do you know?
I heard there was 28 pro teams. Seems like there's more, but
it sure does. But you know, unfortunately for the weather, this really turned out to be a beautiful location, though.
It is. This is a really beautiful place. I mean, they've done a great job keeping this place clean and neat and tidy, and
Deborah Talley's done a heck of a job, the director of marketing for the American Bass Anglers Association.
Always.
She did a heck of a job, and she set us up right on top of the hill overlooking beautiful Lake Logan Martin and a parking lot. And the band kind of got the Battle of the Bands kind of got washed out a little bit, but it's coming back. Like I said, the skies are lightening up. A lot of people are starting to move around, so we'll have some festivities. Now, the boaters had to come in a little early, but you know what? I got to say, as much heat as they took, like we took on Thursday, I'll bet they're pretty happy.
Imagine so, because it was definitely warm today.
Now, when the weather is like it is, when you have tremendous heat or just the opposite, tremendous cold, does it really affect how you cook and what you cook? Does it affect your temperatures in any way, shape, or form?
Affects us, but doesn't affect the food. It's like, I mean, if it's overly wet, we actually like it because a lot of the other teams don't have eggs. They have to really be concerned about how much heat loss they're going to get from the rain, and they go to all the great extremes to prevent that from happening, and I'm okay with it. Yeah, it doesn't care what's raining or not. So we get wet, but the food's fine.
Well, you know, that's a great point. And that's something. I remember I was watching one of those Pitmaster things where it was cold and wet. And, man, they were running around trying to buy things to hug, you know, to put around their equipment and everything else. And eggheads, they were sitting over there just smoking and joking, man. They like, it was no big deal. And that's just another advantage to the egg that you don't think about. But I've seen a lot of posts, a lot of blogs from people up in the north, northeast. There'll be 6 foot of snow on the ground, and there'll be this hollowed out area where the egg is, and they'll be out there just egging away.
Yep.
You know, it's amazing. Now,
If you had, if you were to say, where do you, in order, how do you think they were? Which do you, which did you like today?
Oh man,
because we all tried it all, and we got to say, we get the, you got to understand, they fix it up a box and they take the best out of like two racks of ribs. They'll take six bones, right?
Yes.
And they'll have a huge Boston butt, and they'll take just the center pieces, which is maybe not even a pound.
Yeah, it's probably about a pound, right at that.
And all the rest of it, the leftovers, go to the crew or to whoever happens to be sucking up enough to be standing here because due to health regulations, you can't sell it.
Yep.
So we get to sit around and eat the dregs. And let me tell you something. Yum. If we could find a restaurant that cooked dregs half as good as your dregs, they'd be the richest barbecue joint in the world, but that's because it's competition barbecue. Yep.
What a good name for a restaurant.
The Dregs.
The Dregs.
Yeah,
the Dregs.
It would be.
So, Bob, what did you think was best today? Give us your 1 through 4. Not like being put on the spot.
Probably, me personally, I would put it chicken, pork, ribs, brisket. I think
wow.
Charlie probably.
I had 2 and 3 flipped around. I thought his ribs were, you know.
Yeah, I think everybody thought the pork was pretty good.
Pork was phenomenal. Ribs are just, hands down, just
see, you
phenomenal.
Guys have no spine. You know, you guys, you guys just don't get it, okay? I'll tell you exactly how I see it. It was chicken, ribs, pork, brisket, number one. There was nothing left for number two. Because I can honestly say there wasn't one thing that I could say, you know what? In its category, I like this better. I thought it was...
That's not what we're saying. We're saying of the four things, put them 1, 2, 3, and 4.
I went 1, 1, 1, 1 because I cannot give a second number so to a great piece of meat.
So rules don't matter to you?
There you go.
Ah. The spine and sticking up for something.
I mean, hey, I call it like I see it.
You know, sitting here now before, you know, the scores are in, waiting for the judge, and it's already done and said, but I mean, I'd have to. I feel like these were all top five finishers. Now it may not be. You know, it oftentimes happens. You think that, and you're, you know, you're bottom of the pack. You're not even halfway there. So, you know, yeah. Do I feel like that? Yeah. Do I want to say it out loud? Not really, because it'll jinx us. So.
But I, in all honesty, because this is our second year hanging out with you, as the four have gone in, I would agree with him saying this is probably his best four that we've had a chance to. And we don't go to every tournament he does, but I would say these are the best four. Collectively, that he has turned in as a group, without a doubt.
I had the advantage of walking around a little bit taking pictures.
Right.
And I tasted some of the other people's food as it was being turned in and after it was being turned in. And listen, you don't have to worry about it. Ribs, that's for sure. I tasted about 5 ribs out there that just
yeah,
went there.
The teams you got to worry about aren't the ones you were getting ribs from. So.
That's right.
Okay. That might be the truth.
I mean, I'm not saying, you know, what you had wasn't. But, yeah, the really good teams, they don't really, they don't have people visiting, and we're the same way. If we don't have people visiting, I mean, it goes in the trash as soon as we're done. So it's like we're not going to just give it out to random nice photographers that are walking around.
Yeah. One great thing about coming to a tournament, especially like the ABA, you get the best of both worlds. You get the best, you know, really great pro bass fishermen. But KCBS does an amazing job of... You know, there is barbecue contests, and there are barbecue contests, but I got to say, and I think we're all in agreement, Bobby, you don't have to agree or not, but, you know, when you look at all the tournaments that are out there and all the tournament series in barbecue, I think KCBS has to be, hands down, if you're just talking barbecue, if you're just talking nuts and bolts, pure barbecue, KCBS rules as far as where you go to get great barbecue.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There's KCBS no other things. There's no other judging. It's just strictly on the meats. And there's no, you know, all the accoutrements, all the fluff, all the other nonsense that goes around it, got nothing to do with it. It's just heads up. Now, saying that, I got to say that my recommendation is much like when I talked to Myron Mixon. I said, if you had a magic wand, Myron, if you had a magic wand and you could tap KCBS on the head and change anything to make it better, he said, first thing, I mean, he didn't hesitate, he said, more consistent judging. And I would have to say that that, to me, is an issue that the KCBS folks really need to address. As good as they are, I think they've gotten away from the what this is all about. my friends, you have to understand, these pros go out there, they spend $1,000, $1,500 every week. Now, when they're done judging, they get numbers. That's it.
Yep.
And an occasional comment card. Now, how in the world, if a judge throws you a six, which knocks you out of a category, you get a six, how in the world do you know what they didn't like? So I think it's obligatory, and I'm going to talk to KCBS officials all the way up to the top of the chain. If these judges are going to judge, then they need to do a carbon copy comment card. One goes to KCBS, one goes to the guys who are competing. KCBS owes it to their competitors to read those comment cards from those judges, and if they see judges squirreling, they've got to justify that score. If they see them squirreling, then it's up to them to sit down and say, hey, you need to be recertified or whatever, because these people are spending way too much money to have squirreling judges. And I think that's just an issue. And I know I'm not dragging Bobby into this, but Fred, I know Chef. Well, it's like when you're judging a food contest.
It is. And the thing about, but on the flip side of that, the beauty part of it is that, A, here in Palisades, Alabama, you're going to get a group of judges.
Yeah.
In Washington, D.C., you're going to get a group. Sevierville, Tennessee, in Macon, Georgia. So I wouldn't want the same categories, because that kind of takes the competition away from it, in the sense of saying, you know, just like a strike zone in baseball. You know, you may call the knees, you know, a ball 2 inches above, you may call a strike. Well, the strike zone's kneecap to letter chest right. High on the letter. So, you know, it's a little different. I understand what you're saying.
But
I think in Guntersville, when y'all go to Guntersville with us, I think you ought to take, maybe do your show later again, and take the first part of it and go and just interview judging while it's going on. Like, just see what's going on, watch it, talk to the judges, because I think you'll see there's a lot of judges that are real serious about it, and they take their time, they do a good job, and whether your food is good or bad, they're going to score you good or bad. There's a lot of judges, I think, that are there because
it's a cool thing to do.
They know in their heads, in their heart of hearts, they can just walk in there, they can see a box, and they can give the final score to that box without even ever tasting it, and they put it in their mouth, and they just write those scores down regardless.
And that's why they call it competition, my friends. It's all about food, it's all about fun, it's all about celebrating the good life, and we whip up some interesting dialogue about what happens with KCBS, but regardless of whether you agree with their system or don't agree with their system, the one thing we can all agree on is when you're in the top 100 out of 5,000 in KCBS, and even better, you're inside the top 25, that says that across the board, you're a darn good team. There are a lot of good teams here. They're having a lot of fun. They weathered the storm. We're just a couple hours away from finding out who won. But you're the winner today on Chef of the Fat Man of Blue Collar Chefs, as we're here in Pell City, Alabama, baby.